Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to look at the unfolding in the Acts of the Apostles, the mission of the church through Peter and the apostles who go forward in the boldness and power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the commission that Jesus had given to them. If you've never taken time to read through the Acts of the Apostles, friends, I really encourage you to do it. It's just so beautiful. You see the miracle of Christ's triumph, the miracle of his resurrection, the miracle of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit is the, as the recent popes have described, the first agent of the church's mission. The church will fulfill her mission. Her mission will go forward throughout human history, no matter how much opposition there is in the world, until the end of time, till Jesus comes again, because that mission is fueled, is carried, it's informed, inspired, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church, despite our weaknesses, our compromise, our sin, is a miracle. The church is something that's born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And he has been sent on a mission by the Father to establish the Father's kingdom in the earth, in this outpost that God has created on the earth, where rebellion against his kingdom, incited by Satan and demons that were cast out from heaven, who resist the kingdom of God, who have really led the human race and seduced us into sin and separation from God to the point where we're under the dominion and reign of sin. St. Paul tells us Jesus came to break that dominion, to break that power. That's exactly what he did on the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public show of them, Paul tells us. And he came to set captives free. And he set captives free through the forgiveness of sins, through baptism, through helping each person become a new creation, become a child of God, and enter into his church. That's what the church is. The church is an outpost of the kingdom. We're living in enemy-occupied territory, and this is not the home of the Christian people. Jesus is establishing his kingdom on earth through the church, but he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his full reign and full kingdom will be brought into being as he destroys forever the work of Satan and all rebellion against the kingdom of the Father. Jesus is doing that through his church, and it's fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when the church at baptism, through the waters of baptism, brings us into the place where our sins are forgiven, and literally we're born again by water and the Spirit, it's not just a symbol or a sign, but it affects, as the church teaches us, it affects what it signifies. That is, you're being plunged into the death of Jesus and you're raised now a new creation. Why? Because Jesus has applied the cross to your life in baptism. And he destroys the power of sin over you. Sin no longer has authority over you. It no longer has a final word over you. Because the one who swallowed up death in victory and conquered sin has now conquered it in you. He's personally applied the power of his cross to your life. And he's made you, as John the Apostle would say, he's given us power to become children of God. And the glory of Jesus is now applied to your life. And you're a new creation. And so in the sacraments, we're fed, we're strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And in confirmation, that calling to full maturity and entry into the church and the mission of Jesus is confirmed in us by the apostle. It's the present-day apostle. And that work of the Holy Spirit, it's not just a nice spiritual thought or a theory. It's a living reality. And one of the problems in the church today is so many people who are baptized are not living in, they're not aware of, and don't know the Holy Spirit in power the way the apostles do, and the way the saints throughout church history, and the way the many saints in the church today are living with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit in his church, and they're being fed and strengthened and renewed and moved into the mission of proclaiming the gospel, as I said yesterday, and proclaiming it and living it in a culture which is becoming increasingly hostile to Jesus. If you remember back in the earlier chapters of Acts, Psalm 2 is quoted as Peter and the apostles are beginning to experience the resistance of the religious leaders who are also, again, conniving as they did with Jesus, against Jesus, conniving with Pilate and the political leaders, all of whom are intimidated of losing their power, losing their control, and they see Jesus as a threat that they want to destroy. Now, that same reality is happening with the apostles. And Peter on that day and the apostles, they understood it prophetically. And one of the things they remembered was Psalm 2. In that psalm, Peter would say in chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles, after he was warned by the rulers, he and the other apostles, by the rulers to never speak the name of Jesus again, he comes back and meets with the brothers and sisters in the community there in Jerusalem. And here, in beginning of verse 23, is where Peter, they begin to pray, and then they remember Psalm 2, and the Holy Spirit brings it to mind. And here's what it said. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who by the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit," and here's Psalm 2, quoting David, "why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed." And the apostles are seeing what's happening to them is this constant thing that happens throughout human history, is powers that be, whether they can sometimes even be in the church, but they are in the world set against the kingdom of God. Remember the Soviet Union, remember Nazi Germany, now China, and their aggressive laws against the church. And they're enforcing now laws that say parents can't even take their children to church until they're 18 years of age. So what is this? This is the nations raging against the king, against the rule of Christ, against his rightful claim on every single human being. They belong to Christ, and here this political system is coming to use its power and its influence to make sure that children do not get instructed in the faith, do not enter into church, because they're trying to raise up, they're living according to the kingdom and the powers of this world. And so the reading goes on. It's worth listening to and hearing here what happens with Peter as he interprets their experience. He said, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So it was a prophetic moment for Peter and the believers as they came back from being warned by the religious rulers of the time that they're seeing now again the very thing that happened to Jesus, the reality that there's resistance to the will of God. Now, remember, the apostles were 100% convinced of who Jesus was. They knew who he was, that indeed he was the Lord of all, that all creation was made by him and for him, and that the only true destiny for the entire earth and everybody on it is ultimately to bend the knee to Jesus, ultimately to come and to see that he's the Lord of all, he's God's only son, and they're perceiving this resistance that's deep within society and the culture itself to constantly marginalize the gospel, to silence the church, to punish the church, to eliminate the church even, is part of the history that the church has faced time and time again over this last 2,000 years. But they're full of boldness, and they don't cower in fear, but they praise God that they're counted worthy to be able to suffer for the name of Jesus, and they rely on the Holy Spirit. And even though Pentecost had already happened, they'd received that anointing and power and outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. Here, Luke, the writer of Acts, I'll read again the last verse. He said, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." So the Spirit, it's normal in the Christian life for the Holy Spirit to come again and again to help us, to give us counsel, to encourage us, to move us, to empower us. That's what it means in part to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a person, and he dwells in us now, and it's the Spirit that leads the church through this time. Now, you move a chapter ahead, again, you see, despite the fact that Peter and the apostles were warned by the religious leaders to not speak about Jesus anymore, they get after it right away. They don't stop doing it. And Peter told them, we're not going to stop doing it. So in verse 12 of chapter 5, it reads this way. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico near the temple. Then the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high honor. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and pallets, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. It's an astounding fact, and it's really part of the church's history. And some people want to say, well, no, this was just for the beginning of the church. These signs were worked to get the church going, to get people's attention in the beginning, but they're not intended to be present now. There's nothing in Catholic history that tells us that. In fact, the lives of the saints we see throughout the history of the church, amazing signs and wonders, but not just the saints or the saints in the generic sense, the baptized. I've seen signs and wonders in the work and the ministry we've done in different parts of the world, both here and abroad. I've seen blind people see, deaf people hear. And so the gospel, until Jesus comes again, signs and wonders are going to be a part of the church's ministry. Part of the problem is we don't anticipate it. We don't expect it to happen. Does it happen every time? No, but it happens when God wants it to happen, and he wants us to be open to it. The reading goes on. It said, but the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them in a common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Isn't it beautiful? The angels now come to minister to the apostles. And you have a guardian angel. I have a guardian angel. If you're baptized into Christ, the angels minister to us and help us. And we should be aware of that. But isn't it insightful? What does the angel say? Go and back out, right? It's go, the mass is ended, we say. At Ite Missa Est, at the end of every mass, we're being sent. And there's a constant sending. That's part of the very heart and life of the church. It's normal for all of us. And to speak is also fundamentally a part of it. To do what? To speak about what? In this case, the angel says, speak about this life with a capital L. Jesus, Peter had called him the author of life. Jesus was raised to life. Jesus says he's come to give life and give life to the full. Christianity is a new life. It's a new life in the risen Christ. It's new life in the Holy Spirit, the life of God given to us. Friends, it doesn't get any better than this. There's no better good news we can bring to the world. And the Holy Spirit has anointed each of us to do our part as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.